Hello, folks. This is the Knick Knack Podcast. I'm Knick Knack. I'm a queer and self-identified autist with a variety of deep interests. This podcast is a kind of audio blog where I share my view and occasionally invite others to share theirs as well in pursuit of greater awareness. Today's episode will be a solo reflective effort, once again, that I am calling Going Around Again. And for those of you that are keeping score, it's season 15, episode 28. As ever, I've collected a little over a week's worth of thoughts that need sorting and figuring out, and podcasting is the way I do that. I will say ahead of time, again, I'm a philosopher and storyteller, not a scientist, and in this particular case, I've written a script, but I am not necessarily certain of how much I'll use that script, as is actually pretty typical. So, possible trigger warning, I don't know where this is going, but grab a beverage and a breath, and we'll find out together. So, a big event in my life transpired in early August that is most likely been driving recent content and recent thought and recent decisions, etc., etc. Basically, what happened was I lost a social connection. And social connections gone wrong, especially being an autistic person, and if the social connection is with another autistic person, or at least a person of a minority neurotype, let's say, it absolutely kills me when that happens. Because I have to work incredibly hard to maintain a connection of any sort, primarily by using nonviolent communication and empathy techniques to the best of my ability in whatever moment I am in. Which, you know, my ability to do any one thing at any particular moment varies considerably based on my capacity and my emotional well-being in that moment. I may be alexithymic, I'm not sure. I've been watching the Autistomatic channel extensively, trying to gain an understanding. I've also been reading other books from the actually autistic community to try and fill in knowledge that I don't organically have. And communal knowledge, again, is very valuable. But being in the space of community and trying to develop communal knowledge and develop social connections with either neurotypical people or other people of minority neurotypes, like I said, is a challenge. And it's kills me that, for me, even other people of minority neurotypes are hard to connect with. In fact, they may be harder. Because in the case of this particular lost social connection, basically what happened was we both valued truth extremely highly. But because of our individual experiences of the trauma and stress that goes along with being on the spectrum, we could only take so much from the other person, and we couldn't keep up with the social needs of the other person. Additionally, we also had different ideas of how truth can be and should be expressed. Again, a part of being of a minority neurotype in a neurotypical world is that being in the minority neurotype means that you constantly get gaslit. You constantly get called out and criticized for being who you are. And the only way in my life I was guided and taught and thought and learned how to cope with being in a minority neurotype, in addition to having physical limitations, was to ignore and not focus on the physical limitations and simply escape to a very cerebral internal world. And every time I have to deal with the external world, I've come to learn that my internal experience is not taken well by others, especially holistic or neurotypical people, so I have to mask. And it's so tiring to mask. It burns me out. It absolutely destroys me. And I'm so sick of living in a fucking world that can't accept who I am. I'm so goddamn sick of it. And I suspect that other people that have this type of experience are sick of it too. And the biggest element of frustration is that all these social services and all this medical treatment that is theoretically supposed to help doesn't take seriously enough the internal experience and tries to say our thinking is maladaptive. And again, that goes down to the duality, because if the way of the future is just this continuation of society working towards the riches ideal that doesn't embrace divergent thought, if that's all we as a society, as a species, aspire to, or accept, or do, then yes, I am disabled. And I won't lie, it is at times advantageous to play along with that definition, to go along with the you're broken mentality. But internally, I can't do that. And that's the struggle. That's the internal conflict. That is what's tearing me apart inside. And I'm really, really tired of it. And I'm also really struggling to try and find some sense of hope, some sense of something to work towards. Because again, that supposedly supportive infrastructure usually responds to attempts to change or impact culture with a cold logic. Something like, well, you'll never be able to impact or influence or change the big world, so why worry about it? The don't worry, be happy mentality, essentially. And that song is fucking horrible. Because the lyrics are suggesting, specifically, that you shouldn't worry that your landlord might evict you. Don't worry, be happy, go smoke a joint, be okay. And that's not the right move, especially for me and my individual experience. It's not right to say, well, you can't change it, forget it, don't try, give up. That's not helpful. Yes, there you have to pick your battles in this world, in this life, especially if you are considered disabled in a neurotypical context. But if you just accept that stereotypical, neurotypical view of divergent thought, then you're gonna get depressed, you're gonna get anxiety, you're gonna become more unhappy than you would be if you didn't fight for the right to express yourself. And so going back to this social connection, I apologize a lot. Because I realize that who I am is hard for many people to take. Especially if those people are dealing with their own shit. And people are people too. So one has to assume that other people are dealing with struggles of their own. And I am relatively good when I have the spoons at having a decent degree of separation between whatever is going on in my internal world and being empathetic and listening to someone and hearing what's going on in their world and trying to be there for them. I can't always do it, though. And therein lies the problem, especially in the context of this social connection. The other person's trauma, plus my trauma, created a dark vortex in which we both couldn't handle what the other was going through. We both didn't have the spoons to be as empathetic as the other person needed. And that just fucking sucks. Again, that kills me. So, in the context of that, in addition to the gender transition and trying to spend more time creating scripts for my content and trying to create content that on some level a neurotypical person might somehow connect with. In addition to trying to stand up for myself and assert myself in the context of getting supportive services or medical treatment, it's just too much. It's just absolutely overwhelming. Add to that activism and everything else, and it's all too much. It's all way too much. And I really feel that the burdens of socializing or adapting to these neurotypical social expectations shouldn't all fall on people in minority neurotypes. Yet they seem to. In my personal experience of it, I've developed through my life in such a way that every blunder, every social mistake that I am aware of and notice that causes discomfort or awkwardness or tension or drama of some sort gets internalized. The consequence is, in my mind, the way I see the world, I see very few good things external to myself. And even internally, there are enough hard edges to myself, and there's enough inconsistency in my behavior due to my varying capacity, that not only do I feel the external world is hell, but the internal world can absolutely be hell too. So again, this feeds into the duality again, and I've got to escape that duality somehow. In trying to cope and deal with my life experience, I've become very desperate for social connections that work. So desperate that it's not dissimilar to a thirsty person wandering through the desert for days on end. If they spot water, or rather if they think they spot water, they will go towards it as fast as they possibly can and overindulge in that water. And oftentimes, in my internal experience, the challenge is that I want water so badly, so desperately, horribly badly, that any source of hope for a good social connection that looks good from afar, I run towards, only to find it's a mirage. And I'm sick of the desert, and I'm sick of mirages. I'm just sick and burned out. I'm sick of feeling like Obi-Wan Kenobi, forced to hide in the desert till some dumbass whiny farm boy needs to be saved. And then suddenly the burden's on me to save the dumbass whiny farm boy. I'm getting too old for this sort of thing. Way too old. Way too tired. Way too burned out. I cope as best I can. It's a daily struggle. It's a daily grind. In the last month or so, the only way I've been able to cope is by pouring everything I've got into project after project after project, just to stay busy, just to try and not think about the pain of that screwed up social connection too much, to try and not think about the bullshit that's going on in the external world too much. The 20 years of endless war on terror. The fact that it's not going to change. It's just not. And I need it to change. The species needs it to change. And the odds of it changing seem really remote. Same with COVID. We should be shut down again, especially in the US. Viruses mutate and adapt continuously. The reason we don't have a vaccine for the common cold is because the virus mutates every fucking year. And COVID is no different. It's continuously mutating. That's what life does. And this idea that one vaccine is going to give you immunity is utter crap. It needs continuously to be updated. We, based on what I've seen in what little scientific information is publicly available that I've been able to read, you probably need a more advanced immunity inoculation every 6 months to a year. More likely 6 months from what I've seen, a booster vaccine or whatever. And of course, in the US especially, that's going to be very, very, very difficult, if not impossible, to ensure that as many people as possible have that. And in this context, going back to a normal world where we protect ourselves only with a mask and only with a vaccine, not with reducing social interaction overall and creating the infrastructure society would need, or rather expanding the infrastructure society would need, because we already have it in the form of the internet, such that the need to directly interact with people is minimized and reduced, and such that we can get the same needs met through our technological infrastructure, it's not become a priority. If anything, I've observed the internet become more like TV, just filled with completely useless propaganda that we get addicted to. That is so pervasive that most people can't think beyond what we're bombarded with every day, and it's a distractive ploy. I genuinely think that even a neurotypical person, to any extent that an actual neurotypical person, an actual average person exists, even that person struggling day to day just to get through their work day and then come home and deal with whatever shit they have to deal with after they come home, even that person, if they were afforded and given the time to think critically, the time to actually think beyond the propaganda that they're force-fed every damn day, they would start to realize how broken it all is. Because it's not that hard to see. Suffice to say, I am no longer a fan of Bernie Sanders and the squad. They're not pushing enough. They're not using the power that they have to say, not good enough, and to continuously shut down neoliberalism and fascism at the same time. And again, I really don't think there's much difference between neoliberalism and fascism. In fact, honestly, I think Biden and Biden supporters are almost worse than Trump supporters because they think that there's a difference. They think that they have the moral high ground, and they're no different. An Elizabeth Warren that doesn't go any further than saying business would be better, business would be moral if we simply created the right laws. No, that's not good enough. Business is built on exploitation. That's what business is. It's exploiting people, putting people in desperate situations and exploiting them. And any system that relies on that is going to be the same. And it's highly probable that the human mind can't create or implement a better system. It's highly probable. I don't know. For me and my internal experience of it, and I suspect, I don't know, but I suspect for so many other people that have this sort of internalized experience, whether it be because of disability or whether it be because they're a person of color or because they've got the wrong gender somehow. Whatever reason somebody might be excluded and exploited by the only bastards with power in this system, that being rich white landowners. For whatever reason that you're exploited for not being a rich white landowner, the internal experience is hell. And that's not good enough. That's not acceptable. I don't want to live in a world that continues to go down this path. I'm so tired of it. I wouldn't say I'm strictly a socialist anymore. I wouldn't say that I am a communist either. I think there are a lot of good ideas that you could generally say come from Marxist thinking or from anarchist thinking. And I think those ideas need to be refined and worked on and implemented. I think my personal experience of the Occupy movement and of working and being in the Democratic Socialists of America circle has taught and shown me a lot. It has shown me that there are better ways of organizing society, but there is no perfect way. There's always going to be problems. And you have to continuously refine whatever social structure you use. You can't just say, well, this is our social structure, and if you don't like it and you don't fit in, you can't be part of our society. You're not fulfilling your end of the social contract, therefore we're going to imprison you, or therefore we're going to exploit you. That's not good enough. We need to do better. And I'm so tired of us not doing better. As, in my case, a city, in the case of the city of Chico, which is just completely in the hands of fascist landowners, that want to create this idyllic retirement community for Bay Area retirees and want to sweep anybody that is shelterless or even disabled and welfare class. They just want to sweep that all that under the rug and get that as far away from the city center and the visible idyllic community vision that they want to create. And I'm not cool with that. There's this element of unawareness of the fact that this town is built on stolen land, of the fact that the colonization of this land, the way it's been developed, the way it's been destroyed, is unsustainable and makes it impossible to continue to be here sustainably for the future. And I say you grew up in this hellhole too, because this is a problem that exists throughout the entire Western world. And of course, even into the Eastern world, there's just not enough awareness or thought about how land is utilized and developed, about who controls the keys to the castle. To quote John Lennon, they keep you dope with religion, sex, and TV, and you think you're so classless and clever and free, but you're still fucking peasants as far as I can see. And I say again, I do understand that no person working in isolation, no matter what front they're working on, be it the purely intellectual, parasocial, that sort of stuff, the kind of stuff I do, or mutual aid or direct action or any of the very diverse tactics that have been deployed throughout the years to affect change and make the world a better place. No single person alone in isolation can accomplish that. We live in a culture that idealizes people to extreme degrees. John Lennon is idealized and thought of in a very limited context, perpetuated by the media coverage in the story. Martin Luther King, same thing. Bob Dylan, same thing. The list goes on and on. And a person, individually, is so much more complex than the cultural simplification that happens with them. As Anthony and I were discussing in Living is Easy with Eyes Closed, people that have died are especially thought of in a simple way. The complexity and diversity of their life, the finite details of who they were, are set aside for an idealized image that is not representative of who they actually were. And I understand that part of that is a coping skill that people need to grieve. But it ignores the truth of who a person is. And the fact that the same sort of heuristic is applied all the time by almost every person, myself included, is not good. People are people too, as a friend of mine once said. And you have to have some sort of awareness that there is an external world, even if you don't understand how that external world works. And the external world continues to break you. So again, I say, though I am a storyteller and a bit of a philosopher, and I try really hard, I've not been able to come up with any solid answers. I keep trying though, because it's better to try and fail than to not have tried at all. And I am desperate for help that actually helps. I have a lot of hope for the autistic community. It's a grind, it's a struggle, it's difficult to connect, even with other people in those minority neurotypes. But it's so helpful to hear other people's experiences and to reflect and ask yourself, does that connect with my experience of the world? Is there a truth between what we as individuals have experienced that we can report on and then share? And that's the value there of sharing your story. It's about finding an understanding external to yourself to the best of your ability, and using that understanding to try and impact change. Then back to gaslighting in the context of supportive and medical treatments. I personally have faced an extremely uphill battle trying to defend a diagnosis that the one therapist that has understood me in recent years worked with me to come up with. And that diagnosis is autism spectrum disorder and borderline personality disorder. I resisted agreeing with the borderline personality disorder for quite a while. But I'm starting to think that that's actually not a bad way of generalizing the trauma response element of the way I've adapted to being on the spectrum. And it's a very difficult thing. And again, going back to so much I've said before, I don't think the medical community and the scientific community that's behind it even begins to understand either autism or borderline personality or depression or bipolar or any of that. Because treatment is about trying to modify a person to fit in with cultural norms. And so many of us are sitting here saying, no, we don't want to be modified. Yes, there are challenges to having what is thought of as a mental disorder or disability. There are things that suck about it, especially because we live in the world we do. But we're humans, we're people, and we have every right to live our lives authentically and honestly in the way we see fit. And if the outside world isn't okay with that, two things. Fuck the outside world. And also, the outside world needs to change. And working towards that, again, the survey that DeTester magazine put together is an awesome effort. And things like that are a good way to move forward, are the good way to try and push this society in the right direction. I also suggest you check out the Autistic Medic channel on YouTube. I'll put all these links in the show notes, of course. I'm sure this was a very intense episode and very difficult to hear in a lot of cases. I understand that. But I need to share my story. It's vital that I be understood and respected and accepted for who I am. And it's vital that people that share much in common with me get the same treatment. Because we have to, as a species, overall, accept our humanity and our place in the world in all its variations. I say, please be there and accept what is real. Find out how to help in whatever manner suits your abilities and your capacity. But remember to take care of yourself and know when to step forward and when to step back. Speaking for myself, there's no denying my productions are created on a shoestring budget, and they combine venting with tricks from other disciplines and mediums. My episodes sometimes manage to feature clever editing, and for me, editing is a sculpting game. Much like many other creative people, I am never happy with a finished piece. I merely reach a point where any more tweaks would kill the nature of what it is. And so I post it and hope that it has some value. Sometimes I'm pretty sure I've done something cool. Other times I know I fell short. I can rarely pin down why one thing works and another doesn't. And on top of that, I don't often agree with what works and what doesn't as expressed by the listening statistics. It's interesting, it's human. We're all different and unique. In being human, we often fail. In my case, the nature of what I do is very personal and as honest as possible. It tends to ruffle feathers. But the thing is, this is who I am. I am unable and unwilling to do anything else. I'm simply Knickknack. Take me or leave me. It's that simple. And I dare say, again, that you should approach every person this way. Either accept them for who they are and give them social latitude when needed, or move on. The choice is yours. Make whatever choice satisfies who you are. But know that as a society, everybody needs to be taken care of. If you are autistic, either self-identified or diagnosed, again, please check the show notes for a link to the survey about your educational experience put out by Detester Magazine in conjunction with Learn from Autistics. My thanks again to Susanna and the team at Detester Magazine. You can learn more about the survey by listening to Season 15, Episode 26, called Telling Our Stories. Link in the show notes, or find it in the pod apps of your choice. If you'd like to support my work in the form of feedback or donations, please head to knickknackpod.net. Additionally, reviews in the podcast apps help. Please keep any criticism constructive. I'm very sensitive. I try not to be, but it's difficult. I'm going to try mixing this without Raindrop Rhapsody this time. So, the music used today is Catch Me If You Can by Attica Attica. Find them at atticaattica.bandcamp.com. I thank Attica Attica for allowing their creation to be used in this production. And share and know the value of the Creative Commons approach to intellectual creations, which is why the Knickknack Podcast and FS Ride-Along series is copyright 2009 through 2021 by Knickknack Marsh and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial 4.0 International License. Phew! I thank you so much for taking the time to listen. May you find the safety and support you need to empower you and meet your needs. Bye. So catch me if you can. I'm